Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Universal Lightworker, a conversation with Kayla Ray. Kayla Ray is known as a universal lightworker, bringing the energies and power from many worlds to heal, guide, and help those that she meets. Since a young age, she's refined her powerful gifts to bring healing, cleansing, insight, and psychic mediumship for the purpose of helping and leading those in search of their spiritual and life paths. Today, we learn about her abilities and her experiences on The Grave Talks.
Literally when my mom was pregnant with me. She was actually told, we lived next door to a Native American lady, and my mom had lost a baby just right before me, and the lady had told her that it was going to be okay because the next one was going to be very different, and that was me, and she used to tell my mom almost every day that I was here to heal the people and I would see the world very differently. So here I am. I was the weird child growing up and just did see things very differently, was very okay with death and saw a lot of death before it happened and talked to a lot of quote imaginary friends like most kids do. Mm-hmm. So I can't say so much that it was a spark. It was literally just how I came out.
Now, let me ask you this. Was this something that your mom talked to you a lot about while you were young? Did she share that story of the woman that had these predictions for your life at an early age, or did she just kind of, you know, just kind of see what you gravitated towards?
So my mom comes from a Catholic family. Mm-hmm. And the other side of the family is German. So I'm kind of the oddball out there. Mm-hmm. My mom's family is also part Native, but they weren't really, you know, open to all this. They were more raised Catholic.
Sure.
They never put me down. My parents never really put me down for, you know, seeing these things, knowing things. There's times I undeniably knew things that a child couldn't or shouldn't be able to know. So they just kind of went along with it and just accepted me as, you know, the special child. Mm-hmm. Drew a lot of things because I didn't know how to explain them. So I used to draw a ton, and it was never the cute little girly stuff of like flowers and unicorns and rainbows. It was like planets exploding and like demon looking things, aliens, just, you know, regular weird kid stuff, I guess, basically.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. Were these things that you just found interesting, or were these images that were in your mind? Like, obviously, it's kind of hard to look back and when your childhood and go, why did I draw that? But why did you draw that?
It's actually pretty easy for me to look back at that. It all seems so real, and now it makes more sense. Phyllis was the lady that lived next door to us, the Native American lady. Mm-hmm. And so she died when I was around 3 years old, I believe. 3-4 years old. So she would talk to me, and we would have these really in-depth conversations, even though I was a child. And even after she passed, my parents would be like, what were you doing out back? Or who were you playing with? And I'd be like, oh, you know, just talking to Phyllis. And Phyllis was telling me this about the raspberries. And Phyllis was telling me this about this. And it was just like, to me, when I was a child, I used to see dead people just like living. So I had a really hard time with, they weren't just, like, I saw them just like I would see you standing in front of me.
Yeah.
Well, if you were standing in front of me right now.
Sure.
Not across the country. So as I got older, possibly another part of the story later on, but I started developing medical issues at a young age. And as I got older, we started realizing that that's part of being, you know, empathic, but we didn't know that as a child, how many things were tied to other people, other situations, land, buildings, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really was just always normal, and I didn't understand why other people didn't see it, hear it, feel it, experience it that way.
Very interesting. So when you were young and you were seeing dead people, did you realize at the time that they were dead people?
Yes and no. Like, I knew they were different. They would feel different. They would just disappear, right? I could be talking to them. I could be seeing with them. I could be playing with the little girl that's in my parents' basement, those kind of things. I knew my mom's other baby. Like, I used to tell her about my baby brother.
Really?
That he was also part of me. So, you know, the baby that she had been pregnant with before me that she lost.
Yeah.
I just knew they were different than my other friends or my other family because they could be here 1 second and gone and then nobody else would see them. So, but again, I didn't know that it was different because it was my normal.
Sure. As is so much when you're a child, you're learning, you know, what your surroundings right. are, how do things work? And if right. people are disappearing, well, it must be how it works.
Right. Like I would freak out about the like parades. Most kids love parades. I used to see people, and I used to tell my parents, I would see people or certain things that would have like, you know, what we could consider like dark entities or just weird things going on with them. And I would start freaking out and hyperventilating because it's just, you know, everybody else saw this, you know, fun character dressed up or would see these people in a marching band. And here I am freaking out because there's people marching by. And it wasn't the people. It was, oh, I see that guy over there. And he looks like he has horns and a tail and, you know, snake eyes. Like, I don't want to be near that. He'd freak me out as a kid. So it was really hard to explain those things or why I didn't want to go places.
How did your parents react with something like that, where it's exactly what you just said, like the horns, tail, snake eyes? Like, it obviously sounds pretty spooky and extreme. What was their reaction to that?
They didn't really know how to deal with it, which I don't blame them.
Sure.
Right? I mean, in fact, for that reason, I have people that bring their kids to me to work with just because how do you communicate with a child when you can't see those things?
Sure.
They never really put me down for it. They usually just told me it was my imagination or I thought I saw it, or they maybe reminded me of somebody that was in a movie that I saw that turned into those things. It's like, well, you don't really watch those movies with your kids anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So they always just tried to, you know, more just calm me down and try to figure out what I was really seeing and quote really seeing. But to me, that's what I was really seeing.
Yeah.
Even up until, my gosh, probably about 7 years ago, I was away in Kentucky, and at the time I was living at my parents' house, and my little niece had been at my house. They were using the pool and stuff, and I had a whole bunch of kids' books and stuff for when they would come over to play with. And so my niece wanted to go play with the things, and my mom told her that she could go get the stuff, and she didn't come back out. My mom goes down the hallway, sees her standing at my bedroom door, not going in, and my little niece says to her, that, you know, don't you hear the cat growling and hissing under the bed? And my mom's like, no. And she explained this cat to my mom, and my mom walked her in the bedroom, and she drew, I had this little chalkboard that they used to play with, and she drew the same cat that I used to see when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And it was a cat that used to, I say cat, and it was more like a man swamp creature cat. It had like man hands, hairy knuckles, these big yellow eyes, like scraggly looking face. Kind of grimy looking, used to scare the living crap out of me.
So it was like a character from Cats the Musical that was hanging out there.
Only a lot darker and like mean. Like when I was a kid, I'd actually wake up with scratches on me. Not like deep gouges, but I would wake up with scratches or scabs on my head and things like that.
So one of the understudies.
I used to... What?
One of the understudies.
Right. The alley version, right?
Exactly. It's a traveling version of Cats version. That you got. Yes. It turned out it really right. was. There was a trailer of cat actors and actresses that went off the bridge one day, and you got one of the cats.
Right. Exactly. With mange and everything else, right?
Exactly.
But so this cat, like, it used to, like, I vividly remember it locking in my room in my entire childhood at bedtime, or if I had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, was like consumed with the fact that if my feet touched the floor so close to the bed, that this thing was going to pull me into some sort of underworld and I was never going to see my parents again. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it usually became a joke, especially when I got to be like, you know, 9, 10, a teenager, those things. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have issues with this thing. So nobody really believed me until my little niece, who knew nothing about this, draws this cat and tells my mom the exact same thing I was telling her for almost my whole life. So I did in turn learn that it was actually, I could never get rid of this. So even when I got good at doing clearings and all these things, this darn cat thing that traumatized me as a child wouldn't go away. And that's how I learned the hard way, which I'm really good at learning things the hard way, That he was actually one of my protectors and would warn me of darker people or darker situations coming my way, things going wrong. I now actually use it when I go to paranormal places. If I have a client coming in with really dark entity attachments, things like that, they can usually sense it around. Some even see them. So it's actually become like a warning for me of things to be careful with danger-wise.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel
normal childhood?
Exactly. Yes, it's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and then the demon cat, or just is a protective cat. It turns out to be, but sounded scary at first. Right. Do you feel, looking back kind of retrospectively, that a lot of the things that were standing out to you that you were surrounded by as a child were kind of on the darker end of things?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was a lot of people. I mean, we all have really shitty experiences. Oh, sorry.
You can swear. Don't worry. No, you can swear all you want. Don't worry.
Okay. Crappy experiences with people. I used to have really interesting, like, just you can't even make this stuff up kind of experiences with people about, like, just bad things that would happen, you know? But it was just my normal. I was like, so everybody gets treated like this by people. So it was just, you know, I remember as a kid, there would be times we'd go places and like an adult would just come put their hand on my shoulder, nothing like inappropriate, whatever. And it's like, I would be sick for weeks sometimes. Like I'd end up with strep throat. I'd have ear infections. I'd have all these things. And until I got older and started understanding what I'm naturally supposed to be doing and how to do it, I'd understand they were basically energy vampires. They were sucking the energy out of me because they could see something that none of us really knew what was there.
Interesting. So someone like that, where that would happen, if somebody comes up, you know, you're at, you know, IHOP and, you know, somebody, maybe it's like one of your parents' old friends that they haven't seen, were like, hey, put the hand on, is this your little girl? You know, the kind of those creepy people.
Right.
And, and you're just like, I don't know who the hell this is. Don't touch me. But you're being a polite child. So you don't like slap their hand away or stab it with a knife.
Right.
And it's that sort of thing. It is when something like that would happen, is that, you know, were they conscious of that you had these abilities, that they were kind of sucking your energy? Or is it just, were they just, you know, there's something else to that person? They weren't doing anything, you know, to you, but people like that, is there something attached to them? Is it their deeds, their actions that they've done with other people that, that creates that sort of energy?
Yes to all of that.
Okay.
I mean, some people consciously know that they are doing it, right? They see, like, I mean, it would be strangers that would come up and be like, oh, you can tell she's Native, which I mean, you can tell somewhat, but I'm pretty fair skinned and I never know what color my hair is. It's usually all different colors. So I don't really have any trademarks of really any nationality, honestly.
It's always fun when people go up to go, you must be Native. It's like,
right.
I'm buying Doritos. Just, like, what?
Right. And they'd be like, well, I do this, or, you know, has anybody ever talked to you about spirit stuff? Like, they just had these conversations with me, like, I should know what they were talking about, which sometimes I did, but other times it was just like, stranger danger.
Yeah.
Why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
And those were a lot of the people that I would realize, you know, or my parents would have these weird experiences with people when they were with me. Like, why do people just walk up? Like, we'd be in the store and like random people would just start talking to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my mom still laughs about it now, because she's like, it always takes you so long to go shopping. And then she'll go somewhere with me. She's like, people literally just gravitate towards you for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what it is. They just do. So, but some of those things, until you learn how to control energy, whether it's, you know, for supernatural things or just normal humans, can be absolutely draining. And some people consciously do it. I've met people in the healing community, the paranormal community, that deliberately will, you know, take people's energy and use it for their own, or to, you know, try to gain abilities. But other people just do it subconsciously. They don't realize there's something else in them. It's maybe part of their lesson. It could be an attachment to them. There's so many. It really just depends on per person and per situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's around us every day, really.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.